innocent and things about love and just really healthy attitudes that if we kept with that, we might grow up to be healthier adults.
Well,
where there's love, there's God, right?
Yes.
Yeah, is this the world that God intended?
If it's about love and accepting each other and respect, yes.
And what about Adam, Dayton, Adam, and Eve, Dayton, Eve? Is that the world that God intended?
Well, we wouldn't have a population problem.
No, we'd be screwed. We would have ended a long time ago. Taz, what do you think to that?
It depends how far you want to take the text, doesn't it? I mean, thank you for the rib, Malcolm, you know?
Well, exactly. I'm curious, because I don't know the answer to this, Taz thought, and I'm not suggesting I do. I don't. They would have never sat there and had a conversation or been, certainly my dad wouldn't have been, because he was, he was Mr. Masculine, kind of guy like a lot of those guys were. He would have never, sat down and had a real open-spirited, free conversation with, somebody that was transgender or somebody that was, mm-hmm. whether it's a gay lady or a gay guy or mm-hmm. whatever, or mm-hmm. whoever it is, anybody that didn't fit the mold, like, I'm in the Navy and I wear boots, I mean, that was the whole thing. That's what they called masculinity, you see, folks. Okay, that was, you had a certain thing you were supposed to do.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure.
Well, thus far, friends, on Season 2, the topics are coming fast and furious, and I'm just trying to keep up with it. A lot of heavy lifting here. As I was just saying to the ladies here coming on to the production, some of this stuff I'm not exactly an expert on, and today would qualify as one of those topics. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure with a dose of authenticity. And we'll start here today and talk about this. I want to bring on our co-host today. Taz Thornton joins us. She's a best-selling author, UK's number one inspirational breakthrough speaker. And Missy Crutchfield is here. She's the co-founder of Gandhi's Bee Magazine and of Gandhi Global Center for Peace. And we are going to have a very interesting conversation. And where I started the conversation is about, listen, I think we're having there's a sexual revolution going on out there right now. And you can put different terms on it. It's funny how we label everything, too. Everything's got to have a label today, which I know in just a moment here, Taz will slap my hand and cut my hand off when I label stuff. She'll say, stop labeling something, Mal. Okay, all right. Kind of can't have this conversation, Taz, without labeling something here, man. So, but I think this is kind of, Taz, in some of the earlier shows, this is kind of where the rubber meets the road. Because often you've reminded me and said, well, part of the problem is we tend to point and we tend to, sort of label things.
Yep.
But this is ground zero for that conversation, is it not, Taz Thornton?
Pretty much. Pretty much is. So but labels are bound to come into it.
So as I get my hand stuck into the cookie jar here, before you snap the lid on there and break my hand off, let me just qualify that up front here for folks, okay? So Missy, where I'm going, right? I got to protect myself here. Yeah. So where I start the conversation is, in my generation, I think people were waiting a little bit longer to get married. Although I got married very young myself, as far as a relationship goes, today, when I look at the stats in relationships in general, people are not getting married sooner now. They're getting married later, and some people are not getting married at all. So I guess I start the conversation there within a relationship. And I think the premise of that is that the young generation, they're engaging in sexual relations far too early. Now, when I say that, ladies, I'm going to give you full disclosure up front here. So my first sexual encounter for me was in the backseat of a car, okay? Wasn't exactly in Cinderella's palace, you understand. So it was in the back seat of a car, and I was at the time probably, I think I was about 15, 16 years old, right in that range. So since I'm sharing so much with you both up front, but I always knew, as far as this whole thing about knowing who I was and where I was coming from, and I'll share with you a little bit later in this show today, I made a lot of mistakes when I was at that age, that really strange age of going through puberty, and when we're all trying to figure, I think that's the toughest age of life, that whole sector of puberty. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know what I often say, Missy, that between 15 and 23, the kids are brain dead. We don't even have a brain anymore until we get it back to like we're 24 years old. You know that.
Boys, I think it's 30.
Get out of here. You're going to throw the whole gender under the bus right away. 30 even, huh? All right, all right.
The frontal lobe, which is the logical thinking, is the girls engage in logical thinking, and their frontal lobe is much more active and plugged in than boys are. Boys, it's some even say up to 35, but I think it's between 25 and 35.
Well, Missy, I want to say something to you now. But there was a saying we used to say out there as a young man, and that I used to get chastised for all the time. Are you thinking with your big head or your little head?
Exactly. And I have a 20-year-old male child that I'm waiting, I'm praying to get to that point. I don't want to wish my life away, but God, please bring 25 as soon as possible.
And how old is he now?
He's 20.
20, yeah. You're not ready to be the grandmama yet, right?
No.
No.
No. I'm definitely not. But this is a very interesting topic we're going. It's a sexual gender identity revolution. It's taking it from the 60s, when it was a revolution of free sex and free love, to a
gender
identity.
You mean we took
identity.
A page from the 60s, you're saying, with all of this?
The 60s started a sexual revolution of free love, and now we're in a new kind of and just at the brink of it, really, of revolution of gender identity. And it's about people refusing traditional roles, women wanting to dress more if they want like men, women wanting to feel comfortable or really explore their masculine sides, which doesn't necessarily mean that they're gay. Men wanting to explore design that may have traditionally been targeting women, but they want to explore it, whether it be makeup or sweaters or whatever. They're just breaking all of the rules. And I think in the long run that this is probably very healthy. I think perhaps, at least to put this out for discussion, some of the problems with promiscuity could have come from men and boys trying to act out the way that they're supposed to. Well, if I'm a guy, we're supposed to be, you know, aggressive, and I should
well,
have had
masculine, masculinity versus feminism, right, is what you're speaking about, Missy. Yeah,
exactly. So when we make this fluid,
yeah,
then perhaps there's levels of comfort for men and women, girls and boys, to begin saying, you know what, I'm not going to succumb. Ultimately, I hope that this is one of the outcomes, to succumb to this kind of pressure, because my role now, it's up to me to define who I am.
All right, listen. Listen, I like my masculinity. I like opening... I like opening the door for a lady, you understand? I like being the gentleman in the group and doing those things. Is there anything wrong with that, Taz?
Well, absolutely not. But if there was somebody walking through a door, I would hold the door open for them anyway. I think that's just common sense and good manners.
I like that.
Okay.
I do it all the time. Good for you, Taz. I'm with you.
You too, Missy. My God, does that mean you're a lesbian?
There she is, always labeling everybody again. I can't keep that Taz with her hands off the labeling business, huh?
And they're doing interesting things with the labeling. It's LBGQ on the end, right? So that just kind of leaves it open for whatever you want to identify.
Well, let me pick it up there with Taz. You're speaking about alphabet soup. Now, Taz, I want to tell you something here, and I want you to speak to this here. I got two children. I got a daughter that's 15 years old and a son that's 14, okay? And they are far more advanced in this topic than I am, okay? Because they started talking about things. I started hearing some of the water cooler speak with the kids, right? Like around the house and different things, where they're talking about, you know, all these terms about pansexual and asexual and asexual and transsexual and gender thing and transgender, and all of this stuff is back and forth. And I tell you what, I had to go look up some of the terms they were using, Taz. I had never heard of some of the terms in my life. I thought, well, what is that one? Now, what is that? And, you know, I felt like a fool sometimes. I just wasn't keeping up with it. What's going on? What's in the cereal now?
Oh, here's the labels again. You know, I had a conversation with somebody a while back on one of my workshops. Really, really lovely lady. Identifies, I guess, as gay, has a female partner. And she was talking to me about how she'd met this other group of gay people and had been given this new label. There was, again, lots of letters. And, you know, it was non-binary, something else, something else. And it was because she was a mix of both masculine and feminine. And she happily adopted this label. But I was thinking, well, hold on. Aren't we all a mix of masculine and feminine?
Yes. Well,
and this is my labels thing. I know that we need labels as descriptors, Malcolm. I know. And I know you and I are having a bit of kind of tongue-in-cheek banter about it. But I think this is where it goes too far. We stop just being us and we have to find a reason to be us. You know, we're taking the whole what's your why thing a bit too far when we're trying to give ourselves a set of 20 different letters just to describe who we fancy or how we identify. It's just, I think we're going too far with it. Personally.
So then let me ask you this, Taz Thornton. Here's the big deal. Here,
oh, no.
I hear what you're
embracing,
saying.
Embracing.
All right. Well, here's the crux of this thing, I think. Then why is it that everybody, and now let me flip this back to you. Why is it that people have to always tell me their sexual orientation? Why should I care? And why is it so important that I got to know that somebody has come out of the closet, or all of a sudden that's the big revelation at the moment? Why?
Well, I don't think that should ever be news, you know?
Exactly.
Hey, I am like you and I'm an ex-journalist, so I get it. But I suppose the issue there, if you come down to it, is because up until a few years back, everybody would just assume you were straight.
Right.
And for me, you know, I was in a heterosexual marriage for a while. I dated guys, and so much of that was to do with me believing that it was wrong to be attracted to somebody of the same gender. Hey, I kept myself in the closet for a long, long time. Why did I start telling people? Because if you don't tell people and you happen to be attracted to somebody of the same gender, then you get to this really awkward point when you've been in a friendship with someone for a while, and I don't know, maybe you're out socially and they start eyeing somebody up of the opposite gender, and you get to this awkward point. What, do I say anything? Do I not say anything? And it's because the assumption, until relatively recently, and still to a point today, the assumption is made that you're going to be attracted to somebody of the opposite gender. So the whole coming out thing, it's A, because people need to recognize that they're not freaks and perverts if they just happen to love somebody who has the same kind of genitals.
Right.
And B, because if we don't come out and do the big, hey, I happen to like girls, then, you know, we can end up with our friends, with our loved ones, feeling that we've kind of defrauded them, feeling that we've not been honest. And it gets really awkward if you don't say anything.
Well, can we agree that what you're explaining right now is not really a new phenomenon? And what I'm suggesting is this has been going on since the beginning of mankind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, but people think, but wait a minute, there's a whole generation above us now who believe somehow that we've all been eating the Wheaties in the morning too much, and we now all of a sudden the whole society is, you know, gay-centric or transgender-centric or something else. But I think there's a lot of misinformation. This has been going on since the beginning of time.
Yes, it has.
People have just been afraid to speak out on it, and by getting it out there, it's a form of emancipation, and like Taz was saying, this lets people know who you are. So, you know, if you're not comfortable with that, then fine. But this is who I am. It's asserting and finding their role, their comfort zone, and speaking their truth, who they are and what their relationships are, if they like. But I think it's interesting as well, the gender ID, that's not even so much about coming out of closets. And it's interesting because we've talked about bathrooms and dressing rooms, this conversation has revolved around, and the homophobia, particularly in America, it's just crazy. But I was at a human rights event in Palestine, joining 150 anti-occupation, mostly American Jews and Palestinian partners. And before we got into the big activism, and almost all of them were millennials. So those of us 45 or so plus were trying to, you know, kind of be quiet and watch this amazing empowerment of the millennials. And they kind of sat us down and said, you know, this is this little exercise we're going to do. And everybody went around and shared. And at this point, I really was wasn't even that versed in the whole pronoun thing. And you say your name and other things that you might want to say about yourself, and then you say your pronoun. So I'm glad that I wasn't the first, one of the first five or six to speak, because I was, oh, okay. And more the young people are relating to pronouns they, so that they don't themselves to he or she. And I think this is probably more of a Western, but it is taking off. And I think there's a lot of validity. It makes sense. And it definitely goes with gender fluidity. Time magazine recently wrote that many young people say they believe in both sexuality and gender, that they're both less of a toggle between this or that, and more like a spectrum that allows for many, even endless permutations of identity. And these young people identified as straight, others as gay, still others as genderqueer, gender fluid, asexual, gender nonconforming. And they said that the pronouns are rather that they're using, rather he or she refer to themselves, even if they're a she, they may refer to a he. And then the they is becoming more and more. So it's the whole thing is changing everything up, which I think is really beautiful. And this is the millennials' way of defining who they are and speaking out against norms, social norms of other generations, because they haven't felt listened to.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you pointed out the norms thing there, because of course these things haven't always been the norm. And this whole point with labels, part of me feels that that's actually a backlash against the societal control that's been around for so long. I mean, if we go back only a couple of thousand years, there wasn't this need to identify as, you know, gay, straight, whichever your gender was, or anywhere in the middle. The spectrum was wide. And the only thing that really would have mattered back then was how close you could get to the campfire. It's gone crazy.
I think the flip side of this, Taz, is that I think what bothers me is that I find a lot of the times it's being not only thrown in your face, but it's being, you're being forced sometimes in a, that you have to believe somebody because they're something or because they've changed their life somehow. And if you don't believe this, you're, again, you're a bigot, you're a fool, you're discriminate. It's discriminatory, it's racist, it's whatever. It's all kinds of words. That can be pretty annoying after a while, no?
Absolutely. You know, from all sides, of course it can. But again, I think that's part of this backlash. We have, as a people, been controlled for so long in terms of, you know, our minds, our thoughts, what's supposedly right, what's supposedly wrong, what this book says, what that book says. Screw the books. Who are you? What do you want? How do you want to live? Just be a good person. You don't need a book or a text of any kind to tell you how to be a good person.
Excellent.
Well, sorry. So when the little boys are out in playing sports and what have you, it seems to me like you're saying the balance of masculinity and feminism from when you're a young child, and I bring the point of little boys, I'm thinking back to myself as a young child on the playground and what have you, we weren't exposed to this kind of stuff. So there was a whole generation, our generation and those before us, that, back to that word closet, who's coming out of the closet kind of thing, where it was sort of a shell shock to the entire society. Again, it's like all of a sudden this thing came out of nowhere, and it wasn't really a new conversation. It was for a lot of us, but it had been going on through the back halls and backs and houses and halls. It's been part of our societal, you know, we've known this forever, but yet all of a sudden it was like, wow, who turned the light on? I mean, wow, all of a sudden, you mean we're not all we're not all men and women. And so there's this blend, which you call, obviously, I guess the word is fluidity. It's gender fluidity, right? We're kind of the genders, the feminism, the roles of feminine and masculinity have now blended. Is that what we're saying here, ladies?
Missy, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, okay, sure. They're not necessarily blended. Again, you know, we've got to fight against the box thing. It's really empowering people to find out who their authentic self is. And one day I may wake up and have gone to a meeting in a conference room wearing a tie and a suit that speaks to gosh, I don't know, Greta Garbo or one of the old, you know, and just, you know, come in and people are like, wow. And I think that I looked pretty good. Another day I may want to put on stiletto heels and a, you know,
So what
something
does all
super
that mean, Missy?
great.
What does that mean? That your
It means that
genderness
they're
is being fluid? What the hell does that mean to me?
sure, that's one aspect, exploring through design. Another
So if
aspect
I
would
wanted
be,
to wear a lady's dress and some pantyhose tomorrow, that would be okay with you?
well, you know, I mean, of course it's going to be okay with me. Is that going to be okay with you when you go out? I mean, is that an authentic aspect of yourself? I mean, you can, there are various degrees of how you're going to take that, of course. But do you have you ever been in a relationship, one relationship you're in, you find it brings out more of your feminine aspect, another masculine, and then there are relationships that you're like, you know what? I'm really tired of them treating me like I've got to, what, I don't know, pick up the tab every time, or I have to open the door, or, you know, so every once in a while, I want you to suggest a
All right,
restaurant. I
these
mean, think of,
what we're talking about here now is these are stereotypes. That's what we're speaking about here. This is a society loves stereotypes, by the way, ladies, okay? Because
we
you're
like
supposed
boxes.
you're supposed to do it this way. I mean, and you're right with that. And what really got my attention is when Missy said that, you know, picking up the check. Damn right I'm tired of picking up the check, ladies. I'm freaking really tired of it. And if that means you want to call me a little feminine, then God love you. How's that? Okay? Because I'm tired of paying for the bill. Hold it right there. We'll be right back in just a moment here. But I ain't paying the bill no more. I'm done.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
The Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, now that I'm broke, I just took Taz and Missy out for lunch, friends. And you know who picked up the check, don't you? Well, there's this whole societal push about what are, you know, little boys, we're raised to be a certain way. Maybe some of us are. You open up the door for a lady, but then again, Taz says, well, I'm a lady and I would open up the door for you, Malcolm. She probably would do that and she'd probably wait for the door to hit me in the ass. That's beside the point. But as they say, Taz, what's that expression they say? The door to hit, don't wait for the door to hit you in the ass or something. What does that mean? Do you know?
Well, if I'm going to be standing behind you and waiting for it to hit you in the ass, Malcolm, you can be sure I'm going to be live streaming it to Facebook too.
I love it. I love it. We might as well get some likes and hits, right? Let's get some dopamine out of this. I love it. I love it. You know, I got to tell you. Yeah, Taz, wait, all right. So you were married. You were married once, Taz, or twice, or what?
Oh, I'm currently married.
But I mean to a man. I'm sorry. Apologize.
Once.
Once,
yep.
Yeah. So now the lady you're with now, you're officially married.
Officially, yes.
Okay. And
yeah.
When you were married to a man, how can I ask how many years roughly?
Four.
Okay.
Thereabouts.
Now, through your life, you dated men before that, right?
I did, yes.
Okay. And so you hadn't dated women before that, I take it. It was pretty much men from what I is that correct?
Yep. Or,
okay, all right.
Yep.
So you were just figuring you were just another straight gal, dated men and what have you. But did you always have this for real now, inside of you something telling you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You did.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. If hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And I can think back to my childhood. I remember saying to somebody once when I was very, very small, oh, I think I should have been a boy But that wasn't to do with being gender fluid. Clearly, at some point, in some way, I was feeling a little bit different to my friends. And to be clear, I've never been through the thinking I might be trans or anything like that. And I feel very feminine. Hey, I'm a woman. I identify very, very strongly as she. But if I look back through my life, I can honestly say, bearing, you know, that one confusing time in high school, I've never been sexually attracted to a guy. Now, you know, I grew up in a...
Yeah, but you haven't met me physically yet, Taz. That's the difference.
Well, I know. I'm already feeling strange urges now. Someone pops up on my machine. I'm very, very confused. I think I might be getting a bit too fluid for my own good. Mm-hmm. I'm becoming heteroflexible, and it's all your fault.
Missy, you believe that? I love it.
I'm having so much fun with this conversation, but I have to admit, I moved to New York to be an actress and arts person in the 80s. I was a teenager.
Does this mean you're a thespian?
Yeah, right.
There's that labeling again.
and promoted music as well. So that's why I added the arts. And I worked for. So this is in the 80s, and I was in my teens. So this what I'm talking about is just I'm in awe, I'm amazement, shock, perhaps, that this conversation has taken so long to really, really bubble up. Because in New York then, I mean, most of my friends were not straight at all, if not completely gay or lesbian. Mm-hmm. I worked at a lesbian Latin jazz firm with one gay guy, and I was the token straight girl, and I'm not sure how straight that I was, but okay. And I loved going to the bars. We had some of the women's bars there, and I always felt so safe, and I loved it because I had experienced some sexual abuse as a young girl, as a child. And so I just remember thinking, I love this. I love the nonconformity. I love the creativity. I love the freedom and the, as I mentioned earlier, the emancipation. And so, and then of course, being in New York and the arts and the scene, the creativity that's coming from incredibly sexually fluid and artistic and outspoken people. So here we are now, what, how many years later after the mid-80s, early to mid-80s? And this conversation, I'm going, you know, why did this take so long? And thank God for the millennials that are just fearlessly saying, if you're not going to listen to us, we're just going to change up everything. And they are, and good for them.
The interesting thing is that if I think back again to childhood, we hear so many arguments flying around about, we kind of touched on it here, this idea that, you know, kids are introduced to all aspects of sexuality at too young an age, and it creates all this confusion. If I think about my confusion was really in the fact that I felt society wanted me to date guys, and they're, you know, good guys.
Right.
But even back then, even when I was dating guys, I still knew that actually I quite liked girls. And, you know, so much of the depression I went through, so much of the stress, so much of the beating myself up in my formative years was because, you know, I'd wake up from one of those dreams where maybe I dreamt of kissing a gal pal and woke up feeling sick to the stomach and about how wrong I was. So it's one thing talking about us creating confusion in kids who then feel too gender fluid or don't know where they should be on the spectrum. The flip side of that is that when we try to create these stereotypical conformist gender roles, that creates terrible issues for people who aren't, you know, at either end of the gender spectrum or of the sexuality spectrum.
Yes, and on that, the polarization and all of that, and if you look back a few years ago and it was hitting the headlines, all of the college, so many college students and middle schoolers even, that committing suicide because of the bullying over being gay or having, you know, young boys having feminine qualities and they couldn't take it and committing hanging themselves. It was just tragic. And this is what happens when you polarize gender and stereotypes and sexuality, and people are confused, and the cognitive dissonance and all that, it's very destructive.
Yeah.
So Taz, in your earlier years, you felt you had to conform because society wasn't open-minded. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is what was happening. Okay.
Yes.
Now, people that are in relationships of the same sex now, both men and women, I want to ask you one of the age-old questions that you never really get a straight answer on because it's confusing.
No pun intended.
Yeah, right. There you go. There you go. Is, you know, is this something in your estimation, that people are truly born with, or it doesn't happen over time, or do we know?
I believe it's nature rather than nurture. I would also take that a step further and say that actually we fall in love with souls, we fall in love with people, and it wouldn't matter, you know, what was dangling or not between the legs. And, you know, I can look back and say I've never been sexually attracted to a guy, but I would also not be so pig-headed as to say that could never happen. Who am I to know that suddenly I might meet someone and there's this deep soul connection? Mm-hmm. And surely the physicality kind of melts away, doesn't it? Or does it? I don't know.
Well, that's interesting. I like the way you put that out there just now, because it makes me think, Missy, you know, I mean, like, is that for real? I mean, does that really matter? I mean, human relations and the art of sex itself is such a big part of everybody's life, well, most people anyways, that I don't know how much that would matter. I would imagine it would matter, or people wouldn't really act on that true feeling because, again, in the same way you did it, Taz, years ago, because you thought it was the forbidden fruit, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to do that. I shouldn't have that. So I hear that a lot with people, whether they were born that way. And I hear what you said, and for the record, thanks. So you're saying it's really not the nurturing, but it's nature, you think, that has done this.
I believe so, but right. That's just my opinion.
Right, right, which is fair enough. I mean, that's all you can relate to. That's how you really believe that it's in you. But now there's another part of this conversation here. There's an awful lot today of bisexual going out there where, and that when I first started to hear the term gender fluidity, I just thought that's what I was thinking. Like, well, like it swings anyway. I go this way, high, low, swing high, swing low, cherry, you know, didn't really matter, you know, huh?
It's part of the conversation.
Okay, well, I see a lot. There's a big increase in people that are bisexual. Now, how does that relate to what we just talked about, Taz, when people, where the lines have blurred so much and they don't really know which camp they fit into, and they probably don't give a damn anyways?
Why do we need to fit into a camp in the first place? There's that age-old argument, joke, whichever way you want to put it, I guess, isn't there, where if you draw a line between gay and straight, if people are really honest with themselves, a lot of people would be closer to the center than they are comfortable with. So I don't know the whole bisexual thing. Of course, I know people who are genuinely bisexual, who can be attracted to either gender
way. Right,
but then you also there's this kind of, I was going to say uprising. I'm not sure that's actually the right word, but you frequently see predominantly young girls who go out into the clubs, and the whole, you know, kissing their friend is pure titillation for the guys across the room, and that doesn't feel right either.
Right. I think that when you're a child, if you think back, there's often you had a crush on somebody of your same gender. And you explored things. A lot of young girls cuddle and have, you know, sleepover part, kiss their girlfriends. It's
that's a phenomenon right now, Missy. Get out of here. I mean,
see, I never did.
You never did that. Well, you were the weird one. You were odd. Yeah. They all do it today.
No,
I'm
I experimented with boys.
and see where that got you.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like your girl. Yes. But for me, yes, I had crushes on my girlfriends. I was, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10. And you know, you're just your best friends and you just love them. You have crushes on them.
So you had those crushes, Missy, for sure. And you know you had them.
Yes. But I think it was more innocent than you know, having these sexual daydreams.
Right.
But I think this is all part of exploring.
Well, there's difference if you admire somebody as a friend or an associate or somebody you admire. I mean, it depends what you're talking about with a crush. I mean, you know.
As innocent as it may be, boys do this too, as innocent as it may be, mm-hmm. before society gets its grips on us and puts the guilt of the norms and the status quo on us, we are free and freely thinking and identifying with love and same gender and all kinds of wonderful, beautiful, innocent and things about love and just really healthy attitudes that if we kept with that, we might grow up to be healthier adults.
Well,
where there's love, there's God, right?
Yes.
Yeah, is this the world that God intended?
If it's about love and accepting each other and respect, yes.
And what about Adam, Dayton, Adam, and Eve, Dayton, Eve? Is that the world that God intended?
Well, we wouldn't have a population problem.
No, we'd be screwed. We would have ended a long time ago. Taz, what do you think to that?
It depends how far you want to take the text, doesn't it? I mean, thank you for the rib, Malcolm, you know?
Well, exactly. I'm curious because I don't know the answer to this, Taz thought, and I'm not suggesting I do. I don't, okay? But I am very curious within the conversation that I don't know where the, you know, I'm not a judgmental person, first of all. And let me speak about the generation that I'm in, kind of thing. So, all right, let's picture this. Let's everybody picture this in their mind. So, we're at a local lounge, or whatever you call it. What do you call it in the UK? Do you call it a lounge, a bar, or a happy hour, or what do you call it, Taz?
Any one of the above.
Okay, cool. So we're at a lounge, bar, happy hour joint, and later in the day, and we're having engaging conversation back and forth. Now, when I think about my parents and my dad, my folks, they would have never sat there and had a conversation or been, certainly my dad wouldn't have been, because he was, you know, oh, he was Mr. Masculine, you know, kind of guy like a lot of those guys were. He would have never, you know, sat down and had a real open-spirited, free conversation with, you know, somebody that was transgender or somebody that was, mm-hmm. whether it's a gay lady or a gay guy or mm-hmm. whatever, or mm-hmm. whoever it is, anybody that didn't fit the mold, like, you know, I'm in the Navy and and I wear boots, you know. I mean, that was the whole thing. That's what they called masculinity, you see, folks. Okay, that was, you had a certain thing you were supposed to do. Okay, got it. Mm-hmm. Now, but then in my cycle, I didn't subscribe to that theory because I had somebody whisper into my ear. I think the good Lord was telling me, don't be so damn judgmental, will you? Lighten up.
Yeah.
And so I just never been really judgmental. So like I've always been like perfectly, totally comfortable to sit with anybody, whether they're this, that, the other, you know, I don't think any of that defines the person, is what I'm saying. I don't think any of that defines the human being specifically as far as being a good person. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And somebody you want to hang with because they're fantastic or great or fun or terrific. What I'm saying is there's a generation shift that's gone on here. And I want to, I'm very curious about this generational shift. I feel it in my own life. I've seen it. But you know, when I was in business, there was a gentleman working in, one of the guys working for my company was a tech guy who was homophobic, okay?
Yeah.
And totally, and he talked all the time about it, and I really got sick and tired of hearing his yap, his mouth. It was to an annoying point for me. It got to a point now where I actually, and he was so homophobic, anybody that was gay of any sort, they were like, you know, they were like evil to him. Like these people were like something else. You know, at the end of the day, I listened to him, and I put him in his place more than once. I said, you know what I used to say to him? And I almost slipped and said his name, which I'm not going to say. But I one day I said to him, you know, I said, I'll call him John for the purpose of this conversation. Okay. I said, you know, John, I said, I think potentially you're gay. I said, yeah. I think you're gay. He looked at me and said, what do you mean? You know, I said, I think you're gay. I said, I think you've got real problems with this in your life. Why do you care? Why does this interrupt your life somehow?
If you look at what somebody hates so much, then they're projecting their own issues, their own inner conflict.
Frequently.
Is there any, what's the truth to that, Taz? Speak, because I find that guy annoyed the hell out of me. And I finally got so tired of his yap, I finally put him in his place and told him to shut the hell up. I've had enough. And go get yourself to a psychotherapist. You need some help.
Well, I think that is sometimes the case. You know, you've got the whole American Beauty storyline kind of thing, haven't you? But I think it's a bit of a sweeping generalization. For me, when it comes to homophobia, unfortunately, and, you know, I'm as spiritual as the next person. I was raised Christian. Do I believe in God? Yes. Yes, I do. I might use different words. I might have a different idea of what it is than other people listening. But I am as spiritual as...
You think she's
guy.
Got pink hair. You think she's got pink hair and she's about 5'6", 5'7". That's what you're thinking.
Yeah, and her name's Taz. No, joking aside, I would never be so, well, let's not even go there. But the issue with homophobia is, as far as I can see, mm-hmm. without man written religious texts, homophobia wouldn't actually exist. And the trouble with so many people, if you try to drill down to why they have an issue, once they get beyond when, well, the Bible says, and a lot of them don't actually know what the Bible says. And right. once they get beyond the, you know, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, and all the cliches that people spout, once you drill past that, they don't actually know why they have a problem, other than, well, mom and dad said it was wrong, and their mom and dad said it was wrong. Now, here's the thing. All of those religious texts in the scheme of the world, they're relatively recent. And if we go back to beyond that, it's like I said earlier, the whole issue of gender stereotypes mm-hmm. and of homophobia is a relatively recent invention. And you said earlier, Malcolm, that it was like one day suddenly it was there. Mm-hmm. That's because one day suddenly it was disallowed. So if we're going to have an issue with something, whether that's homosexuality, whether it's equality, whether it's same-sex marriage, whether it's bloody politics, at least understand why you have an issue and at least go a little bit further than, well, mom or dad said this.
Yes, in Kabbalah, sort of ancient Jewish mysticism, there's a saying that's tikkun, whatever bothers you, what brings up these extreme feelings and emotions, anger or hatred or just mm-hmm. something that just hits you so hard is what you need to work on, yes. what you need to deal with. It's God saying, you know, you're here to understand this and then move past it.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder also, little boys, you know, within all of this conversation and context, I'm good with this. Be legit, be authentic, be who you are. I'm totally, totally believe that's accurate, Taz, Missy. Mm-hmm. Totally believe it, okay? If that's who you're supposed to be, by all means, be it.
Yeah.
But what does worry me is the generational shift that's going on where the little boys are sometimes being made into little girls, or the little girls being made into little boys.
And vice versa.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And is that a problem? I mean, there's this whole thing and this cultural thing that's happening. And I just bring it back again to the playground, to the ballpark or the playground or whatever it is. And I think of myself as a little boy and playing different things. And it's a different environment today. We weren't talking about those things when I was mm-hmm. there. It just didn't come up. I mean, I don't know why it didn't come up, but it really never did. I mean, little boys, we were raised a certain way. We played with trucks. Little girls played with Barbie dolls. This is society. There's a stereotype for all this, you know? It's the way we were raised. It's what we knew. Now what's happening, though, I'm telling you now, friends, with this shift out there that's happening, it really is a new world order. And it's not going to change ever to go back there, I don't think. But I see the new generations now being far more acceptant to what and who they are, and back to, you know, what are the labels? I mean, again, there seems to be a label for everything, but mm-hmm. which, you know, I mean, but, you know, there's something more to all of this conversation. But here's the bigger thing. So we're having this big conversation. So how much of this comes back to, again, as children, as young people, what's the right age that you should encounter your first sexual experience? What age is the right age? I know you'd say, well, when it's meant to be. I don't want to hear that rubbish. I know Taz is going to give that answer back almost immediately, some politically correct. Oh, it's when you know it in
I
your
didn't
heart,
know
Malcolm.
You were so psychic,
and Malcolm. Your soul and your heart all line up, and you know it's right. I don't even want to hear that garbage. Hold that thought right there. We're going to come back. I'm going to put Taz and Missy right on the spot. Here's what I'm going to ask them, friends. Listen to that. When's the first, and I'll tell you what mine is, the first age you had your first sexual experience, number one. Two, who told you about the birds and bees? Was it your parents? Was it your friends? Or what happened? There's a whole lot more to this conversation. Stay right there. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are back here. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. There's a lot of pleasure this afternoon. We're talking about it. It is an interesting conversation. All right, we've done some heavy conversations so far about this shift that's happening. I think it's a generational shift now. We're like, I was saying to Taz and Missy, back to where my generation, my parents and stuff, it was a different time. It was a different place. They didn't talk about a lot of that. And I know a lot of old-timers, a lot of people that are in the generation above me and above that, they think, oh, this world's going to pot. All of a sudden, the girls are sleeping with the girls and the boys are sleeping with the boys and they're having their sex parts changed and everything else. This world is going to hell. And I hear that and I think to myself, well, if that's the case, this world has probably been in hell since we started.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing different today is we all talk about it. It's for communication. I tell you, the common denominator of all these shows and productions is it's technology. Communications has changed everything. And it's yes. The way we communicate. We no longer have to wait for Walter Cronkite to turn it on. Walter Cronkite is dead. We're all over it. We got social media. We got the internet. We got all kinds of stuff going on here. We got apps. We got an app for everything.
Yeah. Yep.
They got an app for everything. Well, here on the show today, Missy Crutchfield is here. And Taz Thornton are our co-hosts today, and we're having a most interesting conversation. Gender fluidity, Malcolm, is what we call this. And what you're saying is it's very normal, Missy. You're saying it's not so much that people are confused. It's very, very normal, you're saying.
Yes, it is that we all, as men and women in the world, whether we talk about it or admit it or come out of the closet about it or whatever, have some roles, different roles we identify with. I wake up one day and I feel like, you know, I'm going after the world. I'm going to, you know, and you feel very masculine another day. I may feel a little more submissive. I may want to wear something a little more feminine. I'm in the South. We're just loaded with lots of opportunities to dress up and be all pretty. But, I mean, anywhere in the world as women, we have more permission, of course, as women to do this. As
you know,
society,
I have an idea.
Given us permission.
I have an idea. Instead of us using the word closet, which is really a sick term to use, well, I came out of the closet this morning. Shit, it was a little dark in there maybe, but I'm out now. I see the light. Why don't we just call it that people are now authentic?
Yes, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What the hell's the closet, right? I mean, it's authenticity, isn't it?
Well, that was attached to skeletons when we were dealing with those times, all of the stigmas.
Well, Missy, I got news, honey, and you know where I'm going. I mean, you talk about skeletons. I know a lot of these people who are mouthing off and criticizing the current generation, they got more skeletons in their closet than could have a whole freaking army of them, love.
Exactly. So this is a movement of freedom, of expression, of gender fluidity. Instead of calling all of these different revolutions and bringing out and breaking down all these things, let's just look at this as a revolution of the human spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's get to some spirit now. Let's get to some real meat here. Okay. So let's talk here. So Missy, all right. So how old was you when you had your first sexual experience?
I'm blushing right now, Malcolm. The Southern's going to come out at me.
Be honest. Be honest. For real.
16.
Okay, really? Okay, cool. 16. Now, did you learn the birds and bees from mom and dad or the kids up the road?
I would have liked to have learned more from mom and dad. I was raised in a single family. Mm-hmm. My mother and father divorced when I was 3, and we were in Florida, and he was in Tennessee, and she was a working mom, and I really didn't get to see her as much. She was trying to support 2 young girls and put herself through school and so on, and I did a little more exploration than I would have liked for if I were, you know, role switched, I would have been more...
Mom and dad doesn't do well with trying to explain the birds and bees, I find. Did your mom and dad explain the birds and bees to you, Taz? Because they don't do real well with that.
Do you know, I've been racking my brains and I can't remember who... I remember that my mum particularly was quite open if I asked her. She'd be honest with me.
Right.
But I don't ever remember being sat down for the birds and bees conversation. I must have been, but I don't remember it.
Interesting.
I remember when I talked to my son, I told him, I said, I want you to, the first time that you have sex, I want it to be with somebody that you love, and I want it to be a relationship where you're mature and you could look at it as a marriage type relationship. Now, I was, you know, this is several years ago, and I might have been wishful thinking, but that's the way I tried to approach it with my son, based on my personal experiences as a young girl.
Yeah. So I haven't had that conversation yet with my son yet. I probably should, I guess. But he seems so immature, though. He's 14. He seems so immature. It doesn't seem like he even realizes. But if I did say that, I'd say, well, I hope the first time you have sexual relations, I probably would say, I hope you have an orgasm. No. I'm only kidding.
Does he have a phone, Malcolm? If he has a phone, he knows more than you're giving him credit for.
I know. He's got more than a phone, love. I hear you, love. Yeah. I hear you. I didn't say he didn't know. I just said that, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
He will be sniggering. And
I know. Well, he loves the show. He loves all of this stuff. He's a multimedia little genius himself. What's that? Taz, how old was you when you had the first aha moment in your, you had sexual relations? How old was you?
Well, define sexual experience. If we're talking the first time I actually had sex, I was 18. I was quite a late starter. And
wow.
It was very much an, oh my God, I've got to get this over with. And that was because of some of my conflicted feelings.
So that was bothering you then, right at that moment,
yeah,
even.
Oh. It was. And classy, Malcolm, like you, in a car. Except I was in the front seat.
You were in the front seat, yeah. I was in the back seat, and with mine, it was the daughter of a police sergeant.
Wow.
I mean, how stupid is that?
That is quite stupid.
Yeah.
Thank you. I didn't say I was the smartest guy. But I was, I think I was about the same age as you, Missy, about that 16. So,
yeah.
But there's this whole thing about puberty that I think is very awkward for all of us. It's like we really don't know what the hell is going on, right? Right?
Right.
And we sort of don't really have a total brain yet to be able to figure it all out. I mean, we're a bit confused. But
we have a ton of hormones.
I know.
Yeah.
So what's a cat to do?
Well, here's the societal thing again. You know, I kept waiting and waiting and waiting to seriously consider the feelings I was having that I was convinced just weren't right. I was waiting to grow out of them. You know, I was in my 20s and still waiting to grow out of them.
Right.
Crazy.
Taz, we had an earlier show about sexual abuse where you were very forthcoming in something that happened in your own life. And if you haven't heard that show, friends, go back and listen, because Taz was very revealing in that production. Taz, yeah?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you just put it out there as you always do in your authentic way.
What's the point if not? You know, if you go through things in life, what's the point in not using them to help other people?
Yeah. Isn't the mode here, though, ladies, of empowerment, the fact of what we're saying is young people, number one, don't give up your men and women, boys and girls, don't give up that virginity just because it's the cool thing to do. And we're talking peer pressure here, ladies. You know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you, talking of age, there was something that did worry me a while back. And I was sitting on a train on my way into London, and there were a group of girls at the end of the carriageway. And they must have been only in their, probably not even their teens. And it was one of those where there were, you know how young girls sometimes speak really loudly and you try to
right.
not hear, but you just can't. And one of them was talking about a boyfriend, and she said, you know, I was gutted. I had to break it off with him because, you know, he told me that he was a few years older than he actually was. And so I had to break it off. And then there was a pause, and she said, it turned out he was only 12. It's like, what are you kids doing having that kind of relationship at that age anyway?
Wow.
You know, and then is this me? Is this me being really old fashioned? But you are children.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, the problem with the online business is you don't know anymore, Taz. You don't know. I mean, I'm going through that now with my daughter, who's been talking to these people online and stuff. Again, they don't use their real names, but still, she's talking, engaging, and now this person does know her real name and somebody she likes that they meet online. And I mean, you don't even know who these people are half the time.
And many of them are adult sexual predators posing as teenagers.
Yeah.
So dangerous. Malcolm, I wanted to speak to one thing that you said. You talked about people staying in relationships or being in relationships because fulfilling some sexual needs and desire, or pleasure,
right.
whatever.
Right.
Okay, so what I want to introduce in the conversation is that you don't have to stay in or find a relationship for long term. I mean, men and women should be able to, if they have sexual appetites, high, low, whatever, to satisfy themselves. There shouldn't be any guilt in that, and you certainly shouldn't seek out a relationship just so that you can have sex with one person.
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, it's not exactly a traditional value, but Taz, what do you say to that?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
We really are flying all over the place on this one, and we're getting really, really deep. It's consenting adults, isn't it? And well, for me, it is. It's consenting adults and whatever feels right for them. So long as everyone is on the same page, that should be okay.
Yeah, well, it is. That's actually a great way to sum that up, Missy, with the being consented adults, because, you know, again, this is part of the conversation we're having here, you know? It's called...
I was talking about masturbation. I think that that's sort of kind of the elephant in this conversation, perhaps, and because you're talking about finding relationships, and
right.
I think that a relationship is something that we need to be very, very, you know, careful with, and this
right.
is another human being. It's respect for a human being. It's,
you know,
spending
I wonder,
time. It's,
Missy, I don't know how we'd do this, but can you imagine if we did a total complete show on just masturbation?
Well, it would be interesting.
Let's do it.
That would be fascinating. I mean, I mean, as having that conversation as we are, as ladies and gentlemen, you know.
Yeah,
I think that if we did kind of, you know, sort of let the air out on the topic a little more, then maybe boys and girls or whatever wouldn't feel like they had to have as many conquests. That's just one.
Missy, that is interesting. You are a very liberating young lady, I have to tell you.
Well, it's a point, isn't it? You know, if it is just about getting your rocks off, then there doesn't
right.
really need to be more than one person in the room.
Do it just yourself.
You and Pamela are fine.
Right.
DIY.
Right. I mean, sure. I mean, I get it. It's not quite the same thing, but I do understand what you're saying. It definitely.
They say if you sit on your hand for a while first, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, today it's a 24/7 mode of internet, and again, one of the other topics we're going to touch on this show, ladies, which it's a pretty heavy lift actually, and we'll do it ahead, is on the basis of pornography, because this is another thing that is a phenomenon out there, is
yes.
the pornographic world. You know, back in the earlier days, it used to be just about a Playboy magazine, and that was Dad's got a Playboy magazine, can you believe that? Today, that would
stories.
Be like, you know, Humpty Dumpty Reader's Digest, you know?
Exactly. Having this conversation, thank you, Malcolm and Taz, in
yeah.
this
yeah.
platform, on this alternative media,
well,
we talk about this in a way that perhaps wouldn't be in mainstream.
This is art. And this is really what it is. It's an incredible body of work. And that's why we're so proud of it. The things we're talking about, we slay the, whatever the dragon is, or as they say, the elephant in the room, every single episode. Friends, we'll leave it right there, and we thank you for being part of this journey today. Missy Crutchfield, Taz Thornton, this is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.